Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
All right. Well, Vision Weekend, I'm not sure what your definition of vision and mission is, but as a church, I guess our mission is to be a New Testament church in a modern day context. And, I think that's a generalized statement, but and I can elaborate on that, but I don't want to today because there's something else I want to emphasize. And I guess our vision or our clear mental picture of the preferred future of who we want to be more and more is that we want to be that healthy, relevant, Bible-based family. We want to see people in this family context, see people connect with God and others in a real way. And we want to see people discover their direction in life and we dare them to live it out. So see people discover, develop and succeed in what God has called each of you to do. And whoever comes and joins Compass, that we want to see people. And that may be fulfilled in the context of Compass, but more than likely, probably 98% of the time, that will be accomplished outside the four walls of the church. And so we're excited about that. Now, I could go into each of those things, but as I said, I don't want to because I feel as though there's a statement Nigel made last week, and we've been kind of talking about this for some time, that I am going to do, in the little time I have, going to try to express and do a little bit of teaching about the significance of this word, and that is covenant. And Nigel said last week, and the statement he made is that as a community of believers and as a church, we're not called into contract with one another, we're called into covenant with one another. And I'll come to that for just a second, because each year what we do is we like to have three key focus areas, predominantly three things to focus on. Maybe that's just a reflection of me being a male and I can't do too many things at once well, but I prefer not to have 10 things that we just do a little bit here or there. I'd rather just do three things really well, so it comes to 2015, those things are up, established, running, and we can move on to the next things. And pretty much that's been our strategy for the past 6 years, is that we've just put things in place and they'll constantly be needed to be worked on, etc. But, you know, we really want to focus on three things, and that is like our leadership group and team building, particularly within the leadership context. The reality for me is that I am not Jesus, I am not the Holy Spirit specifically, I can't be in all places at once. He's the only one that can do that. And so as the church has grown, it's becoming more and more obvious that we've got some very gracious people around. But the reality is that I've become like a bottleneck to a lot of departments or areas of the church. And it's not because I want to be a control freak, complete opposite. It's just that as the church has grown and as God has brought you guys, gifted, quality people, to go into these roles and functions, I can now get out of the way. And so there's this transition process taking place between really consolidating our departments and people and building teams that can just get on and do the job. Because really, I know that I'm just getting in the way with too much stuff. And as I said, I appreciate everyone's patience with me and just being patient. Anyway, the second thing is bringing things into better order. And it relates to what I've just said, but that includes all those wonderful things like processes and systems and procedures. Put your hand up if you love that stuff. Wow. You guys deserve a medal. But like, I don't get it. All your hands, you just volunteered, exactly. But I look, honestly, I just don't think, I mean, I can do it when I'm forced to, but it's like, you know, I kind of leave it as long as I possibly can, and then I get to it, and it's like, seriously, this is like, I'd rather kind of like have somebody poke me in the eye with a burnt stick than actually do that stuff. But it is absolutely necessary. The better the systems and procedures and policies we have in place, the greater the freedoms it allows for everyone involved. So, you know, that's one of our focus areas for this year. And that also includes our department structure and the health of our departments, with our grommets, with our kids, with our youth, with our hostings, with our pastoral care team, and everybody involved in the various departments in the life of the church, creative ministries and set up, pack up teams, and the list go on. So we're looking to do that. And as I mentioned just before, Compass Community Care is a key focus area. It's not to say that we don't focus on anything else, but these are our key focus areas. All right. So now that you've got that and that's really clear, what I want to focus on this morning, as I said, is the clear understanding, or try to. Now, honestly, I'm not going to be able to do this justice in the time that we've got here this morning. But as I was preparing this, I guess my my direction of how the message was going to go changed significantly because of the significance of this concept of covenant. And, you know, these days, you know, people liken it to a contract, but it is like, but it's so much deeper than contract. Because contract implies that there is a performance-based requirement within it. There's a goods, there's a service delivered and received, and there is it's performance. There's an outcome based in it. But whereas covenant with God is relationship-based. So our relationship with God is not based on performance. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, seriously, if we had to meet a particular standard, like Sean said this morning, we can't reach that perfect standard. If we all had to kind of like sing like Andrew and Nikki and Shavantha, I mean, God help us. You know, seriously, we would fall way short. I mean, we all fall short in different ways, but God isn't about performance or outcome. And the problem is sometimes in church life, we get caught up in the performance contract model of relationship with God, and then suddenly people get used up as a means to an end. And so people become a commodity. And I think God just almost stands with his pulling his hair out, just going, it's not meant to be like that. It's supposed to be covenant. Turn to the person next to you and say, covenant. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to learn about covenant this morning. You see, contracts are, you know, in the legal term, it's a legally binding document and agreement that two parties enter into. And as you will see, there's elements of covenant that fit that definition. But what I'm going to try to explain is it's so much deeper than that. And for us to firstly understand how covenant works in the context of community, how we relate to one another, we have to get a good grip on what it means to be in covenant with God. Because our understanding of covenant with God then actually helps us define and understand, guide, compel us, show us how we are then to live in covenant with one another. Does that make sense? So I'm going to make some people uncomfortable this morning. I'm going to challenge people about your understanding of what community is and what connectedness is and where that fits in your life and where you're at. And so I make no apology for that because as I was going through this, like, I yearn to be in covenant relationship with my God. I hunger for that to deepen and grow. And believe it or not, you may not think this of me, but I yearn for that with you guys too. Because we use the terminology of family and home. And for my family, I'd do anything for my family, although I have a brother and a sister that annoy the hell out of me. And they get right up and I would do anything for them. And if they needed something, I would be there. And practically, I might not be able to be there for you, but if I hear about it, we'll organize somebody else or something or someone to be there for you. And it's just like a little bit of an insight. But let's get back to this whole thing about covenant with God. It embraces and encompasses a deeper level of relationship and mutual commitment that goes beyond the idea of contract that we have today. We see one of the first mentions, or the first mention of covenant in Genesis 6:18, and it's God speaking with Noah. You know, the bloke that built the ark and did all that sort of stuff, and once they kind of like the rain stopped and then the water seceded there, and it came, the dove came back with the olive branch, and they realized, okay, there's land's being exposed, and they get back onto dry land, and there is this understanding that God wants to make a covenant with Noah and mankind that he wasn't going to flood. He makes this commitment. But what's associated with this is that there is a sacrifice associated with it. So not only is there this agreement, but there is a sacrifice. And the thing is, the word here is bereath, which means to purify or cleanse. I mean, whenever you've thought about covenant, have you ever thought about purification and cleansing? Probably not. But yet we've got to understand we're talking about covenant relationship with God. So therefore, we have a holy, pure, righteous God who cannot enter into relationship with sin or sinfulness. Do you get that? So therefore, what we're saying is that, yes, God wants to come into relationship, but before the relationship can start, there's got to be purification. There's got to be cleansing that takes place. And once the object, the person, the people group, the individual, once they are cleansed and they are clean and they are pure in God's sight, then he can have relationship with them. So not only is an agreement, there is a sacrifice, a price that had to be paid. And so we see here this concept with Noah, particularly the first mention of covenant, that there is this idea of sacrifice and this agreement. And so God can't enter into a covenant or engage with mankind without a purifier. And obviously, if you kind of jump to the New Testament, you would understand this is where kind of Jesus starts to fit in, if you're with me. So to get a better understanding of this concept, I want to take a look at Genesis chapter 15, which is one of the next significant mentions of covenant and what it meant for mankind to be in covenant relationship with God. Now, I'm going to condense this for you because of time's sake, but we see here that God has promised Abraham in Genesis 12 that he was going to be the father of many nations and that he's going to be a blessed people group, and the people of the earth would call him blessed and he would be a blessing to all nations. And he needed a son, and yet God comes to him again in Genesis 15 and says the same thing. He says, Abraham, you're going to be blessed. Look up to the sky. Your descendants are going to be more than the stars in the sky. And then Abraham actually asks God this great question because he doesn't have a son. He doesn't have an heir. He says, but God, how will I know it will happen? How will I know that you'll be faithful in this deal? How will I know that you're going to come through in this relationship? You've committed to me, but I can't see whether you're serious. I don't know how you're going to come through and be committed and faithful. So God asks Abraham to do a strange thing, but it's got powerful meaning. And I want to try to explain it. See, God asks Abraham to grab five animals. Now, the number five in biblical terms means new creation, new beginnings, a new seed. And he asked him to get a heifer, a goat, a ram, and a dove, and a pigeon. And it's interesting that he asked them to actually cut the heifer, the goat, and the ram. He asked him to cut them in half, to sacrifice these animals and place the halves facing one another, like laid out on the ground. I mean, it's pretty full on, isn't it? So, I mean, can you imagine the bloodshed and the gore and stuff like that when he's doing that? But had to be as precise as possible, cut down the middle, and they're placed in half. Hence the idea of sacrifice once again. Why? Because we have a perfect God that can't enter into a relationship with sin or sinfulness. So God is instituting the way here of how Abraham and his descendants can be declared pure and clean before God. But the one thing he says is that you are not to cut the pigeon and the dove in half, which we'll come to in just a second. And so later we see that as Abraham is there and it gets to nighttime and the halves are sitting out, that there is a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch supernaturally pass between those. So God comes in this way and he passes between the sacrifices that are laid out on the ground that Abraham has done there out of obedience. That's pretty full on, isn't it? And so what's the significance of this? You see, God confirms his commitment to the relationship by doing his part. Just as Abraham had done his part, God now comes and says, right, you are looking for a sign, you're looking for a way. How am I going to show my commitment to this relationship? Well, I am showing you supernaturally as I pass through this smoking fire pot and this blazing torch through this sacrifice that you have given to affirm you and to let you know I'm committed to this relationship. And we see here the heifer, the goat, the ram. Interesting, later in the Levitical system, which is the sacrificial and the priestly system that God put in place for mankind to maintain relationship with himself, they're the three animals that were used for the forgiveness and the atonement of sin. And the two birds, they weren't killed. Why was that? Well, maybe that they represented the... And when Jesus was baptized, remember the dove comes and descends and it's seen there as a dove? Well, maybe that's signifying the Holy Spirit's role in all of this. The Holy Spirit's alive and the Holy Spirit is present within that context. What about the smoking fire pot? Well, some commentators say that smoking fire pot that passes through actually signifies the trials and the challenges that Abraham and his descendants or the church is going to face. And the flaming torch is likened to the word of God. He's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That Christ himself is the light unto the world, and Christ is the word incarnate. And so it's his divine presence there is passing through this sacrificial system. And so the power of entering such an agreement can't be understated, because the consequences for not following through are massive. You see, God is committed to this relationship. And the thing about God is that if he commits to something, he will follow through. Because if God reneges on a promise, he ceases to be God. Our God is a God who cannot lie. And yet the consequence for Abraham was just as intense. And as we see, and we see times after this where people would actually make their covenant agreements through the shedding of blood so that they could come into agreement to one another. And that word covenant in some cases even means fetters or handcuffs or shackled, that people are shackled together, that they are traveling together. And if one of those people was to break the covenant agreement and not fulfill their end of the purpose and the deal, then they were liable and to be open to be killed to death. So pretty serious consequences for people not to fulfill the requirements of the covenant. Does that make sense? Do you understand the weight and the significance that God, the creator of the universe, is committing himself to a person and to a people group? And he is making it very clear here that, hey, I've made the way for it and I'm committing to it. And he says, now all you need to do is uphold your end of the deal. So when it comes to us, how is this relevant to us today? Well, God's responsibility for us today is to provide a savior, to provide the means of salvation. That's God's part. Our part is to accept his savior, to lay hold of the hope that's set before us, and for us to walk in obedience with the guidelines and his standard for living. Because spiritually, and this is where it gets a bit heavy, but the reality is if God has done his part through providing us with a savior, because he longs for that covenant relationship with his people. So God, for us today, let me backtrack. In the Old Testament, we see again and again that God is just affirming and reconfirms his commitment and his covenant relationship with his people. But it's all based on a system, a sacrificial system that Sean mentioned around communion this morning. That was like, you know, it was just an intense system. It was something that mankind had to consistently do to gain right standing before God. But then we fast track and we see that Jesus Christ comes and he becomes the ultimate sacrifice. He becomes the ultimate lamb that gets slain, his blood is shed and his body is bruised and broken for us, which we remember this morning, so that all mankind can come into relationship with him. So God again is saying, I want relationship with you. I've shown you, I've made the way for you to experience relationship with me. I don't take this lightly. I can't give you any more of myself. I give you my one and only son. And he says, now I give you that opportunity to be in right relationship and to be in this covenant relationship with me. So God's done his part. Do we get that? There's nothing more that God has to do or can do. He's done it all. No more shedding of heifers or goats or rams is required. That was the old system. It was all fulfilled in Christ. And so now God goes, I want this relationship with you. And I've shown and I've proven my commitment and followed through on that. Now it's up to us whether we want to enter into that relationship with him. If we understand the seriousness of God's efforts on his part of the relationship, maybe we can start to grasp the significance and the responsibilities that I have on my side of the relationship. Do you get what I'm saying? Because whether we like it or not, it's a one-sided relationship. Because God is always going to be more committed to us than we could ever be to him. I mean, I don't know if I'd be willing to lay down my daughter's life for you guys. Stuff you. I'm keeping my daughter. Do you get what I'm saying? It's pretty full on. That we have this God that's gone, right, I have made the way through this intense way to show how much I love you and I want relationship with you. And our part in this is to go, right, okay, I accept and I understand and will never fully comprehend the price that God had to pay in the giving of his son for us to have relationship with him. Now, as I said, it's a difficult, the magnitude of covenant with God, the privilege that we have, and Michael sent me his devotion this morning out of Psalm, and it was like, who are we that God is mindful of us? And yet here I am, I have the privilege and opportunity of coming into relationship, this covenant relationship with God, where God doesn't hold anything back from me. But he just says, hey, I want you to live a blessed life. I want to be with you. I will not forsake you. I won't let you down. I shall provide all your needs according to my riches and glory. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose for your life. I've laid it all out before you. And it's up to us whether we want to step into and go, wow, God, what you have done for me just blows my mind. You see, I believe, I don't live this all the time, but I've got to remind myself of this, that just salvation in and of itself should be enough to compel me just to tell everybody that I meet. To think that, wow, this God has given his son and I have this relationship with him, that in and of itself, but yet over and above that, because he's a loving father, he pours out his blessings to us, his mercies are new every morning. How phenomenal is that? I know I find it really hard to find the words for this morning, partly because of time, but partly because of, I guess, the magnitude of what I'm trying to say. Because when we grasp what it means to be in covenant relationship with God, we can then begin to understand God's design and purpose for his people. Because it's out of that connectedness with God, it should drive us in helping to understand what kind of connectedness we need to have for one another. He lays it out that, husbands, you should love your wives as Christ loved the church, that he laid down his life. And people think, oh yeah, no, I don't want to use that word submit anymore, that the wives should submit to their husbands. The blokes have got a much harder job. Okay, I'm just wondering how many people are actually awake and listening to what I'm saying, because, okay. Because I would rather just submit. But to lay down my life for my wife as Christ laid his life down for the church, that's just just scratching the surface of the kind of covenant relationship that God desires for marriage. And he says that, you know, the love that you have for one another, the covenant love that you have for one another, the world will know that you're his disciples, that as people see that love in action and being outworked and his love and his mercy and grace being operated amongst one another when it comes to conflict and disagreements and how we deal with that and what we do or don't do in the community, what we do or don't do together, what kind of time we spend with each other, what kind of influence that we have in our workplaces as people watch us living that out, seeing faith in action lived out in the sense of community, in real covenant relationship, the world will know that we're really his disciples. Because what's the biggest reasons people don't come to the church? Because they say, oh, you Christians, you're no different to anyone else. Or you're just, the church is full of hypocrites. Because we do the Sunday thing, but Monday to Saturday, we're kind of like no different to anybody else. But yet, if we get the revelation of what it means to be in covenant relationship with God, there is no way I can treat the blood of Christ as a common thing Monday to Saturday. For it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Maybe I'm getting a bit hellfire and brimstone here this morning. You know me, I don't normally go there. But this morning, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And yes, I err on the side of grace, and I'm one of the softest marshmallow guys going around, and you know, like I'm gracious with people and stuff, but maybe I just need to harden up and just tell it how it is. There's a couple of you that are in the smiting thing, aren't you? You just really just go, let's bring on smiting. But I only get passionate like this because I know, I'm learning more and more of my covenant relationship with my God. And I love the way Thelma says it. I love the way that Thelma says, my God, I couldn't do this life without my God. I love that. My Jesus, my Savior. And so when I see people treating that as a common thing, and not really, and we all make mistakes, as Sean said, we all fall for it, but like if we're not trying to grow and kind of increase our respect and awe of the covenant relationship we have with God, I seriously don't really tolerate that too well. Because if we do, we are trampling the blood of Christ and treating it as a common thing. That's heavy. And so again, I come back to this understanding of my covenant relationship with God helps me to get a better idea of what it means to be in covenant relationship with each other. And so this love and this commitment that goes beyond just a contract of I perform, so therefore we connect. You perform, so therefore you have some level of importance in my life as a pastor. Doesn't work like that. If we have this understanding of that, we here at Compass, we try to take this concept of family. Romans 8 talks about that because of what Christ did, we get adopted into God's family. That each one of us, when we have that relationship with God, you're in covenant relationship. So whether you like it or not, we're brothers and sisters, we're family. And so we're adopted into his family. So at Compass Church, what I'm trying to say is that this idea of covenant relationship with God, the vertical thing, we take seriously. But the covenant relationship with one another, the horizontal stuff, we also have to take seriously. So when it comes to family, you know, like if you jump on the phone with somebody once every 3 to 6 months, they're your best mate, aren't they? If you, okay, and this is where it's going to get really quiet, but if you come to church once every 3 or 4 weeks, then you come back another 3 or 4 weeks, maybe the people that you're slightly connected with 3 or 4 weeks ago aren't there, but you see them the time after that, it's 8 or 9 weeks before you actually see somebody again. I don't know how you can build any kind of connection or a sense of relationship like that. Wow, I told you it was going to get quiet in here. But you know, I make no apology. Why? Because my value in my life for being here on a Sunday and connecting with you and having people over for dinner and lunches and being involved in life groups and our pathway stuff, I understand the importance of that in the context that I'm called to live in covenant relationship with you. And if that's not where you're at, take it up with God. Or come and have a chat to me, that's fine. I don't want this to be heavy. Well, please, take my heart. The emphasis in this is covenant relationship with one another. That, you know what, I mean, and if you do come once every 3 weeks and something goes on in your world, then guess what? We will do move hell, fire, high water, whatever, to be there to help you and support you. Like this lady that lives halfway down to Phillip Island, has only been to our church a couple of times at a carol service, but there's a real need there. We can't but not help. So this idea of covenant relationship stems out of our understanding and revelation of what it is to have covenant relationship with God. Does that make sense? And if you're visiting here this morning, I don't normally preach like that, but... And honestly, it's not getting something off my chest. It's not something that's been bugging me. What hit home to me this week as I was just meditating on this covenant relationship thing, I think I've just become... I just naturally now, and a lot of people in this church naturally live like this because we just get it. But who knows that not everything kind of just happens via osmosis. Sometimes you've got to articulate things so that people understand what your values and what's important to you. So for me, us as a family, you guys are important in my life. Really. And only time will tell what that looks like. But I pray that's the case, that we have that sense of covenant relationship with one another. Because I know all of you, including myself, there are a lot of other places we could be on a Sunday. There's a lot of other people that I could have in my home for lunches or dinners and stuff like that. But I want to do life with you guys. I want us to impact this community, this city, and this state, and the nations of the world. I want us to do it together. So one way that we have practically to be involved, and I'm going to wrap up far out, it's late. I'll just get Daphne and Jerry up, if you could please, just to come and stand up. And this wonderful couple are overseeing our pastoral care process at Compass Church, and they are a massive answer to prayer, and we've prayed for these guys. And Daphne and Jerry are taking on pastoral care, and part of that, so... If you feel like Pastor Phil's beating you up this morning, go and see them because they will just love you. Yeah, that's right. So we really appreciate you guys. And they are overseeing our life groups, which is, as you saw in the video, an opportunity and a place where you can connect with people and get to know people. And we know it's not everybody's thing. That's okay. But Jerry and Daphne are going to be overseeing our life groups and small groups. So what we're going to do in the next 5 minutes, and we're going to pray and close, but what we're going to do, give you the opportunity to do before you leave today, I would like all the life group, and Kate runs an exercise group as well, that I'm going to get our life group leaders to please stand now, please. Awesome. Very cool. Now, they are going to go and stand near a table. Out the back. Okay, the sound signs are up on the wall. Okay, thank you. Very organized. So what you've got is an opportunity of being connected to one of our life groups, you might want to ask the leaders, what does the life group look like? What does that do? We've got Sean, you have yours in... Yep, Bentley East. Lester is in Beaumaris. Joan is in Caulfield North. Why did I get south? Yep. Yes, and you're representing Mark? In Brighton. Brighton, and you guys are in Cheltenham. And who else was it? Kate? Yeah, running group, walking group, talking group, walk and talk, probably more power talking than power walking. But if Kate has anything to do with it, things will happen. There is no doubt. She'll bust your chops. So, come on. All right, so if these guys run on a fortnightly basis, we have our small group life groups that function, and it's a great place to really get to know other people, grow in your relationship with the Lord, and want to give you that opportunity to sign up and maybe get more information about a life group. So I'm going to close in prayer. I thank you for your patience. I thank our worship team and Nick and the guys that had some technical issues this morning. Really appreciate you guys and for all that you do. Those leaders are going to be standing near one of those. And you've met Lynn this morning already. But Lynn is helping out Rachel Kemmis, who oversees our pathway of discipleship. And so another way that you can get connected and grow is by either doing Alpha, and the next one after that is D101. And then thirdly, there is a great course also called Cleansing Stream. And that is the steps that we encourage people strongly to go through in terms of growing in your relationship with God and knowing what you believe. So Lynn will be standing at one of those signs if you want to get more info on each one of those. She's got information on each course, and you can get more information on that. So if you're unable to be here next week, but you would love for us to pray with you for your goals for 2014, then we would love to do that just at the close of the service. So we're just going to have some people here that will pray with you. But let me just close in prayer, and then we'll let you sign up and grab some food and coffee. Thanks. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord God, we just thank you that you are a covenant-making God, that your yes is yes. You are a God who cannot lie. You're immutable. You are unchanging. God, if you suddenly did something contrary to your word, contrary to your covenant relationship that you've established through Jesus Christ, your Son, you would cease being God. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are faithful, you are trustworthy, you are reliable, that, Lord God, you follow through, and you give us that opportunity to come into that covenant relationship with you. And our responsibility in all of that is to be obedient, is to desire to know you more, to please you and not man. That this morning, Father, just thank you that we're so blessed and privileged when we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord to have you have that relationship with you. So, Father, I pray we'd never take that for granted. Thank you that you do not call us into to do life alone, but you've called us into community, into family. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room, Lord God, that we can do life together, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little, sometimes through good times, sometimes through bad. But Father God, I just pray that your blessing would be upon Compass Church, your family. Lord God, we just thank you for this year and all that you have in store for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.